Ask you to take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to Psalm 37. I'm going to ask you to keep them open for as we go through our Bible study tonight. We're not going to read the whole psalm, but we're going to look at several verses. And just to get started, I want us to look down at verse 37, Psalm 37:37, where the Bible says, "Mark the perfect man." Now, some of you ladies will say, doesn't exist. But he's not talking about perfect. Some of you would say, I know you're giving me a dirty look. I know you think you've had or have the perfect man, and that's good. But he's not talking about no error. He's talking about mature. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Tonight, I want to use some verses from this psalm to talk about some things that we need to think about that will hopefully cause us to worry less. You know, we live in a day when a lot of people are worried about a lot of different things. And I don't stand here tonight telling you that it's easy not to worry. I was talking to somebody earlier today and talking about what we were going to, have for our lesson tonight. And they made the comment, well, some people just were born that way. They were born worriers. And I think we all have a tendency to worry. But I don't think God wants us to worry as much as we do. And if we could just keep in mind the promises that he makes in this book and the instructions that he gives us in this book, we wouldn't worry as much. There's a couple of verses that we need to keep in mind. Again, they're not here in Psalm 37, but they say the same thing that we ought to memorize and always have at the tip of our tongue to help us. First one is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Now, I could stop right now and spend the rest of the time I have and say, that's really all we need. Just to remember that God cares for us. And he instructs us, invites us, say, hey, whatever you're worried about, whatever care you have, just give it to me. Just give it to me. And then there's a verse in Psalm 55, verse 22, where the Bible says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." In other words, God will give us what, if we just give him our burdens, if we just give him the things that we're concerned about, he'll sustain us. He'll take care of us. He'll give us what we need every moment of every day, and we won't be moved. Now, that's talking about not getting off course, not moving away from where he wants us to be. And sometimes worry, if we're not careful, we'll get off course, and we take our eyes off him. And I think sometimes God must get a little frustrated with us. I was talking to somebody yesterday and I said, and we were talking about some things that happened and I made the comment, you can't tell me that God doesn't have a sense of humor. God does have a sense of humor. But I think he also sometimes gets a little frustrated with us because we don't trust him, we don't depend on him as much as we should. I think I've told you this story before, but back in the horse and wagon days, there was a guy that had to get some grain to a mill. And he was poor, he didn't have a horse, didn't have a wagon, so he just loaded up a bunch of grain in a 100-pound sack and was walking 3 or 4 miles down to the mill to do whatever they do to his grain. And one of his neighbors came by who had a wagon and a horse. He said, "Hey, you going to the mill?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, so am I. Just go ahead and get in and you can ride with me." So the guy got into the wagon, the back of the wagon, but he still had the bag of grain on his shoulder, the 100-pound bag on his shoulder. And the guy was driving the wagon. He kept looking back. He said, he kept looking back. He finally stopped the wagon. He said, "Hey, why don't you just go ahead and set that bag down? The horse is strong enough and big enough to pull you and me and everything in this wagon, including the sack that you got on your shoulder. Why don't you just put it down in the wagon and get that burden off of you?" And I think God must feel the same way sometimes when he says, "Look, I've saved you. You're in the ark of salvation, so to speak. Just lay your burden down. Don't keep carrying it. I mean, I'm big enough not only to save you, but to handle every burden that you might have in your life. Just go ahead and put it down. And again, I was reminded this afternoon, and we talked about it not too long ago, but if Peter had enough peace to fall asleep in jail, chained to two soldiers the night before Herod was going to kill him, and wasn't worried about what was going to happen, if he could fall asleep where the angel had to come in and shake him to wake him up, then maybe we shouldn't spend so many sleepless nights worried about stuff that's going on in our life. We just need to have the same kind of peace that he did that came from God, so that we could fall asleep. The same kind of peace that Jesus had when he fell asleep in the middle of the storm. Same kind of peace that Peter had when, again, chained between two soldiers the night before he was supposed to be killed. He just fell asleep. And we need to have that peace, and we can have it. So from Psalm 37, I'm going to give you some things tonight, five different things that if we could take them and apply them to our lives, we wouldn't spend so much time worrying. And these are all simple things. I mean, not deep, hard to understand, but simple concepts. Here we go. Number one, trust in the Lord. Look down at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And what the psalmist is saying, look, just trust in God. He'll give you a place to live, and he'll make sure you have enough to eat. And I know we would say, well, I am trusting in the Lord. I mean, I trusted him to get saved. That's not what the verse is talking about. This psalm was written to I'll use the word Christian, even though that term wasn't used back when David wrote this. But this was written to people that already believed in God. And the theme in my Bible, at the very top, it says, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And so what the psalmist is not writing this to introduce people to God. It's written to the people of God to get them to trust their God. Get them to depend upon their God. People sometimes ask each other, do you believe all the promises in the Bible? And I'll ask you tonight, don't answer me, but just think your answer. Do you believe all the promises in the Bible? There's over 4,000 of them spread between Genesis and Revelation. You know what we do sometimes? We treat the promises that are in this book like a smorgasbord. Yeah, I like this one. And I like this one, and I like this one, and I can grab a hold of this one, and I can grab a hold of this one, and I can grab a hold of this one. And some of them are pretty easy to grab a hold of and hang on to when, you know, we're on the mountaintop and things are going pretty good and everything's good in our life. But when things fall apart and when the storms come, that's when we need to grab a hold of them, all of them, and hang on to them. And what trusting God means is believing every promise that's in this book, in the good times and in the bad, knowing that God is going to keep every one of those promises. I read a story, and I might have told it before, but you know, sometimes preachers retell their stories. And don't get mad, because you guys watch you watch reruns, right? Anybody here can tell me you never watch the same thing twice? Okay. Yeah, that's enough. But there was a story about this Christian soldier that was in a concentration camp, and I don't remember what war it was. And there was a medical doctor that was the interrogator for the enemy, and he brought this Christian in and set him down in the room. And in the room there was a glass, a big dog, and this doctor that was the interrogator. And he sat him down. He said, now, you're a Christian, right? Yes, I am. He said, do you believe every promise in the Bible? Yes, I do. Every one of them. Yes, I do. Every single one of them. No doubt in your mind that every promise in the Bible is hit. I believe every single one of them. And he said, well, do you believe that promise that's in the book of Mark at the end that you could, and that's where it talks about handling snakes and, you know, drinking poison and stuff like that. He said, do you believe that one? She says, yes, I do. He said, now, I'm asking you, do you really believe them? He said, yes, I do. So the guy took that glass, and there was a little bowl in the room, too, and he poured some of the liquid that was in the glass in the little bowl and gave it to the dog, and the dog keeled over dead. He said, there's poison in that glass. He just gave it to the dog. The dog's dead. Now, do you believe that promise that's in Mark that you can, you know, take poison and not die? Yes, I do. And the guy said, okay, go ahead. Drink the rest that's in the glass. And so the Christian soldier picked up the glass, drank it down. Doctor waited for a few minutes, waited for a few minutes more, waited for a few minutes more. He reached over and checked the guy's pulse and, you know, had a stethoscope on, listened to his heart. And the story goes that he reached in his back pocket, took out his wallet, got the card that all the communists had to sign. He ripped it up. He says, I want the same God that you do. I want the same God that you do. I want a God that keeps every one of his promises. And if we want to quit worrying, we just need to know that we got a God that not only makes the promises, but is able to keep every single one. Trust in him. Then look at verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, you know, sometimes we worry because we need something and we have a desire for something. And God says, hey, if you'll delight yourself in me, if you'll find your joy in me, if you'll find your happiness in me, if you'll just delight in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. You say, preacher, you believe that? I do. He said, if I delight in God, will God let me, you know, win the lotto next time it gets up to $500 million? No. Because if you're delighting yourself, yeah, I can see all the disappointing looks. If you're delighting yourself in God, you won't have that desire. If you are, that's right, you won't need it, Brother Jeff. If you're delighting yourself in God, you'll want what he has. In fact, the Bible tells us a couple things. It says we need to delight ourselves in his word. Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. I was talking to Lois this morning, and she was telling me about her Bible reading, and I was telling her about my Bible reading for the day. And, you know, we need to stay in the Word of God every single day. We need to delight ourselves in the Word of the Lord. The other morning, I had to get up early and do something, and I missed my Bible reading. And it was like Peggy. When I was talking to Peggy on Monday, she said, you know, when you miss church, it just messes up your whole week. It doesn't seem like Monday. It seems like I've missed a whole part of my life. And I thought to myself, that's the way I feel when I miss getting to read my Bible in the morning. I mean, it just messes up my whole day. I mean, I go back to it and I try to pick it up in the afternoon, but it's not the same. And we ought to get to our point in our life where we look forward to reading the Word of God. And, you know, Brother Leonard, one of the things I like about retirement, I get to spend more time. I finished up for the 8th time today through the Bible, and I've set my goal. I want to read through 3 times a month. 3 times a month. And again, you guys want me to do that because that's what I need. But I'm to the point, I look forward to it. I don't want to miss it. And so we need to delight ourselves in the Word of God. And I know with your schedules, you know, you maybe can't do it that much, but find some time every single day to get into God's Word and get to the point where you look forward to it. It's almost like missing a meal if you miss it. It's almost like missing your favorite dessert if you miss it. I mean, we just need to get to the point where we like it that much. And then the Bible says, not only should we delight ourselves in his word, but we need to delight ourselves in his will. Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God. You know, we won't delight ourselves in his will unless we're willing to do his will, unless we're willing to do what he tells us to do. And the examples I gave you a moment ago of Robin's testimony and Phyllis's testimony yesterday, I believe that God has a plan for us every single day. He has a will for us every single day. And if we'll let him, he'll put us, in positions so we can say a word of encouragement, a word about Jesus, a word about our faith and how God can work in a person's life. He'll give us an opportunity to share that with other people if we're willing to do His will, if we delight ourselves in His will. I know last night, and I'll talk about Phyllis, so she's not here, but I know she was still in a lot of pain. But when she called yesterday night, she was so excited. I mean, I know she was in a lot of pain, but she was so excited that she got to have a word of prayer with this lady and talk about Jesus. And, you know, that when we get to do something and we know it's God's will because we can see how He's worked to put us in a position to do that, it ought to delight us. It ought to excite us that we get to serve Him. And then one more thing. In Psalm 94:19, the Bible says, "In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul." What the psalmist was saying is, when I remember everything that you've done for me, it delights my soul. Now, same thing ought to be true for us. When we remember what God has done for us, I mean, it ought to delight our soul. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I notice it every time that I call on John Thim, to pray. In one way or another, he always says in his prayer, "God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me." And if you were here the other night and heard his testimony about how God saved him and the life that he had before he got saved, you understand why he does that. I mean, when he remembers, and by the way, it ought to be true of every single one of us, when we remember what God has done for us, it ought to delight our soul. It ought to delight our soul. Okay, look at verse 5. "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, "For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And what Paul was saying is, "Timothy, I can't save myself. Couldn't save myself. But I committed my soul to God. I'm just depending on him. I've given him my soul. I've given him my life. I've given him everything that I have, and I'm not going to worry about it. I've just committed to him." Sort of like Job was talking about when he said to his friends, he says, "He could slay me. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to trust in him." And remember, and this was before God gave him everything back and 10 more children. This was in the midst when he thought he was going to die. He said, "It doesn't matter. If I die, I've just committed myself to God. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm his." So commit ourselves unto the Lord. Then look at verse 7. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." You know, one of the things that sometimes causes us worry is when we compare ourselves to other people. And what the psalmist is saying, hey, don't do that. Rest in the Lord. Wait on him. He'll take care of you. Don't get in a hurry. I mean, Christianity is not like going to McDonald's and, you know, expecting to get your food instantly. Sometimes God wants us to wait. Sometimes he wants us to persevere. He wants us to just see what he is able to do. And so many times we struggle and we just be better off to just sit down and wait on God. I read about a lady that was sick and she was laid up and she was worried. She was fretting. And she was worried about, am I ever going to get well? Why did I get sick in the first place? And she was just questioning God and just had a lot of anxiety about what was going on with her life. And she was laying in her bedroom and the window was open and a little bird flew in the window. And it began to, you know, try to get back out. It began to bang off the walls. It banged into this wall, banged into a mirror, flew up and hit the ceiling, and banged into another wall. It just wore itself out, flying back and forth between all the walls, hitting itself, and it finally just wore itself out and fell on the window ledge right in front of the open window and saw its way out. And sometimes that's what we do. We just bang ourselves in the head and we flitter around and twitter around. And those are Bible terms, flitter and twitter. But we just flitter and twitter around. We get all upset and we bang our heads against the wall. And finally we just get so wore out, we sit down and God says, okay, now I can show you what I want to do for you. Now I can show you what I want to do for you. You want to try all this stuff? He says, go ahead. But you'd just be better off to just sit down and trust in me and rest in me. I know what you're going through. I got a plan. Just rest in me. And isn't it a shame that we got to wear ourselves out before we get to that position where we'll just rest in him? And then number five, look at verse 34. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. One of these Wednesday nights, I thought about this afternoon, one of these Wednesday nights, I'm going to do a Bible study on the word wait. On the word wait. All the verses, maybe not all of them, but the verses in the Bible that just tell us to wait. We want to get ahead of God. And usually when we want to get ahead of God is when we get in trouble. I don't have time, but you can go back and you can read stories in the Old Testament. Some of the saints in the Old Testament. Those that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, the all-star saints sort of in Hebrews chapter 11. They got ahead of God. They thought they knew more than God. They thought they knew more about timing of things than God did. And they got ahead of them. And every single one of them that got ahead of them ended up in trouble. You see, God not only has a plan, but he has perfect timing in that plan. And when we think that we know more about the plan and the timing of that plan than he does, we get out ahead of him, and you say, well, why doesn't he stop us? Because, I mean, we even though we're his child, we still have our free will. And he wants us to learn. And sometimes the only way we can learn is to get out ahead of him and get, you know, beat our head against the wall and have to back up and say, okay, I must not be ready for this yet. What's your timing? What's your timing? And so we just need to learn to wait on him. Wait on him. So again, you put these things together. We trust in him. We delight in him. We commit our way to him. We rest in him. We wait on him. And then we can get to this point where we started. Mark the perfect or mature man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. Peace. And that's what God wants us to have. He doesn't want to spend a lot of time worrying. He doesn't. And I know it's easy for me to stand up here and say that. It's a lot harder to do it. But it's like anything else. The more you do it, the easier it'll get. The more you practice trusting God, committing ourselves to him, resting in him, waiting on him, the easier it will be for us to not worry about things. Okay, glad you were here tonight. Let's stand and have a word of prayer and be dismissed.